Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to Dale and Keith with Fitzy on WEEI.
At Fenway Park, what are you talking about?
You can hear them.
Yeah, and that's the fun, too. You know, like, that's the fun of it. But, you know, the Chiefs fans come to watch our games, and they pay their hard-earned money to come watch us play and hope for us to win. And give us some crap when we don't. They've earned that right just as much as the next guy. And be honest with you, I miss all of it. I really do, because that's what we're accustomed to. You know, that it's not like any other place. Like, it's packed all the time.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Fitzy in the house with us. Rich has said on a number of occasions in the past, and I think he's right, until he has to go out on the mound and you have to worry about whether that, you know, 82-pound frame is going to make it through delivering a pitch, Chris Sale is the perfect professional athlete for Boston. He says all the right things. He's accountable. He's self-deprecating. He's worked in a decent Massachusetts imitation there. Not bad. Everything about Chris Sale is positive. You just worry about what's he going to be able to give you out on the field.
At Fenway Park, what?
Yeah, I mean, he and Cam Newton are so similar, with yes, the one exception being that Chris Sale was really good for the Red Sox at one point. You know, prior to being hurt, he was awesome. Like, he should have won the Cy Young the one year. The next year, he still got a bunch of Cy Young votes, and then obviously the injuries have been a big factor in how he finished some of those seasons. You know, Cam, we're really basing it off of Panthers Cam, but they're both a great interview. They're both good post-game after a loss, where a lot of guys would be losing their minds or would be really short answers or whatever. They're not. They don't blame teammates ever. It's always about them. You know, Cam Newton's team, the defense could suck, but Cam Newton wouldn't say a thing about it. Chris Sale's offense could suck. He wouldn't say a thing about it. Or his hitting, we wouldn't say a word about it.
He'll always blame himself.
They're super
my fault.
Easy. They're super easy to root for. Like, I love these guys, and I'm hoping for a bounce-back year. But you looked at 2019 was a mess, not a Chris Sale year, like, at all. Then the injury, didn't play at all in 2020. And now, what is he, 32, coming off all these different operations and things. Like, I'm not expecting a lot out of him. I hope I'm wrong, but I really don't expect to see the vintage Chris Sale again.
See, because I'm thinking, like, after the interviews that we've had and what we've heard this week about these Red Sox, from J.D. Martinez admitting that he was just out last year and that, you know, he was a total mess in the season. Well, he didn't even know if they were going to play. Most of us didn't. Most of us kind of wish they didn't, actually. That, you know, the offense will be back. They were second in baseball in hits last year. And now you start to think, like, okay, so Erod's coming back. He was out all of last year with the COVID complication of myocarditis. Now Chris Sale has the reconstructed UCL, and he hasn't pitched for over a year. And maybe that was dogging and nagging him for a couple of years. And that and the shoulder were taking 3, 5, 7 miles per hour off his fastball, which is a massive difference for a guy who relies on it so much like he does. I'm starting to buy into the fact that, yes, the pitching will be significantly better for the Red Sox. Yeah, and they have a closer now, too, who we're going to get to talk to in the next hour, which is awesome. I'm thinking Sale is going to be a big difference when he comes back. Now, I'm not counting on him to be 100% rich. He's not going to throw 123 pitches in Toronto on Memorial Day weekend. But he's definitely going to contribute. The turnaround is on. And like you said, the likability factor is back with the Sox just so quickly after it evaporated last season.
Well, you hope that that's the case. Let's give you a couple more from Sale this morning on the Greg Hill Show. He was asked at one point if he were commissioner for baseball for a day, what he'd change in the game.
This is a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I would just for me, my personal opinion, I don't want anyone to get offended by this. Don't burn my house down or anything. I think that if we took shifts away, it would be a little bit more back to normal. Because, you know, watching every left-handed power hitting player, anybody that's, you know, left-handed power hitter has three guys over there. And if they don't hit a home run, they're bouncing it to the middle guy. I don't know. I think that would kind of create a little bit more chaos and you see more hits and give you more reason to not try to maybe go yard every time.
And that's a pitcher talking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course he wants that, right?
No, he wants to get rid of the shifts. He wants to make he wants the offense to be improved by taking away shifts.
Well,
and that's a pitcher talking. And by the way, I agree with him completely.
Who benefits from them? Yes, exactly,
but
Dale.
He does, but at the same time, like he says, like these guys go up there just like looking to go yard all the time, and that might change. So I think I think on the surface of it, it obviously would help. You know, the hitters, right? Because guys aren't standing in those spots. But maybe it changes just the monotony of the game, the three outcome hitter, the home run, walk, strikeout, because while they're taking away, I'm a pull hitter, they're taking that away, so I got to swing for the fences every time. So I understand. There's definitely been an argument for it in the past. A lot of people don't like it. They think it is affecting sort of even pace of play and like all these other things. I personally think that you should be allowed to shift, though. Like, if this guy always hits the ball into, like, one spot, why can't you put a guy there?
You can put a guy there. What they're saying is you have to have two guys on the left side of the infield, two guys on the right side. You can put a guy where he hits it, but you still have to have two guys on either side of the infield.
But aren't you allowed to run, like, a zero blitz and have all 11 men on the defensive line come after the quarterback if you want? Or, you know, like, you can do these kinds of things, like – it's just somebody, it was Joe Maddon who first basically started deploying this, like, hey, there's no rule that says I have to, like, this person is only allowed to stand here and here. Outfielders can shift. Why can't infielders
as
well?
Right, not to get into the old, like, should David Ortiz bunt argument, but the whole idea of if nobody's playing on one side of the field and you just slap it over there to take a base, it's like, all right, if you want the base, take the base. But if you're going to just try to hit a home run or whatever, like, there's obviously a lot of strategy to it, and it's gotten to the point where it's nauseating, where you're seeing players that have little scouting report cards in their pockets, and they're, even the outfielders are moving constantly because of where it is, because we have all these hit charts now. We know where guys hit it, but at the same time, I have no problem with the shift. Yeah, it's done to death, but again, that's a lot of information.
And that's exactly why I am against the shift.
But there are ways to beat the shift.
It's done to death.
Then just slap it the other side every single time.
Yep, just lay one down over there. And you know what? Until you stop laying down these basic singles and getting on base,
you know what Joe Maddon is saying? I win. He's saying,
yeah, I would say fine. I've
got David Ortiz, and I'm using an old example.
Yeah.
I've got David Ortiz standing at the plate. He beats the shift. He you know, lays it down the third baseline or slaps it over there. I win.
Yeah, all right. I
have taken the bat out of his hands. I've won the matchup.
Well, you didn't take the bat out. You took the hammer out of his hands.
But yeah, right. He's still on first base.
I took the bat out of his hands. The thing that I fear the most, I've taken away from him if he does that.
Yeah, but if that's really how you felt, you would have just intentionally walked him, and you didn't. Like, you are trying to get him out. Right?
It was, sort of. Yes. You're right.
You didn't give him four pitches and tell him to take first base. So, I mean, that's one way to beat it.
Sale did have a good point, though, about the fact that, you know, the game is kind of stagnating a bit, though, and that even to hear a player, a top flight pitcher say, yeah, you know, game's getting kind of boring. Like the fact that it's like strikeout, you know, punchado or home run every time, like the all or nothing nature to baseball is one of the significant reasons why a lot of people are getting bored, because you see the stats 2/3 the way through the season. It's like relievers have there were 9 relievers in the game. There were, you know, games that averaged 27 strikeouts, and it's like it was 3-2 final. It was only solo home runs, and then there were 28 strikeouts. That's boring.
It stinks, and that's what they're going to, because a lot of the stat guys have realized that, you know, war is the most important thing, and all these extra numbers are more important, whereas the traditional numbers of, like, batting average and RBI don't matter. Like, it's all these other things. So if a guy – like, every year there's new records for guys striking out, but nobody cares. There's, like, no shame in striking out anymore, whereas forever ago, it was awesome. If you were, like, Tony Gwynn and you never struck out, like, that was kind of a badge of honor. Now it's like, who cares? How many home runs did he hit? And, like, what's his OPS plus? Like, that's all anybody really cares about now. I still think that the sign-stealing thing that Alex Cora was a part of is what really, really hurt the game, because even before that got exposed, a lot of teams were aware that teams were doing it, and that's why you have the pitcher stepping off, shaking off, walking around, all the mound meetings. Even though they've tried to cut down the mound meetings, they're still stepping off the rubber. They're like, does this guy know a pitch is coming? And it's like a whole thing. And if you didn't have that, if you didn't, I think the game would move a lot quicker. If think about just, like you yeah. can take you can okay. take average time of game from however many years ago, same rules, but the game's so much slower. Why? Like you got to find out like what has changed within the game that has made it this 3 hour and 15 minute epic.
Let's give you one more from Sale this morning, because you know Red Sox fans have the painful memory seared into their recent minds here about, you know, Mookie Betts, one of the greatest players in franchise history, leaving, going to L.A., becoming a Dodger, winning a World Series, and Sale was asked if it's possible he won't end up here.
100%. I got nowhere else to go. Got nowhere else to be. And like I said, I mean, this place is top-notch. They're unbelievable. I like it here. I love it here. I feel comfortable here. They take care of me. They take care of my family. And we win. Check the books, man. Check the books. We win. That's what we're here to do, and that's what we do a lot of. I'd like to get back to that.
He wants to retire as a member of the Red Sox. Now, guys say that. I understand. Guys say that, you know, to
it's well, like, Mookie Betts didn't say that.
No, yeah. No.
This isn't Kyrie with a fastball and a slider, Dale.
No, this is like Mick Foley, you know, right here in Chicago, Illinois, you know, right. Going for the cheap pop, you say that. But I actually think he means it.
Well, he's also in a different situation than a lot of these other guys, too, because it's not like he's a career Red Sox, and it's not like he's 22. Like, he played for the White Sox for a long time. This is his, what, fifth year with the Red Sox, I think? Well, I mean, he missed a whole season.
Right, right.
It's his fifth year with the team.
In the organization, at least, yeah.
Yes, and he has an opt-out after 2022. But you say, all right, I guess it really depends on how he pitches the next 2 years, but are you going to opt out of another potential, what, $55 million when you're 34, 35 years old? Probably not. Probably not. But I mean, I believe him. I'll take him at his word that he wants to get back to winning. He was here when the team was at its best, when you know, saw it from a distance when it was at its absolute worst. It now has to be a big part of the reason why they can hopefully turn things around.
To Fitzy's point about the likability factor, it does feel that there's been some improvement in that regard. Nothing against Ron Renicki, but you know, he was kind of bland. He was what he was. People like Alex Cora. Everybody right. likes him, or most people like him.
Most people do, yeah.
You know, the players that we've heard from so far at spring training, and it's early on. Nessun had a thing the other night where they had a workout at sundown, and they had players all mic'd up while they were working out, and just listening to them, and it was fun, you know. And Jim Rice and Tom Caron were on set hosting it back at Nessun. Mm-hmm. They had a microphone on Xander Bogaerts. And they were talking about how many games he's played. And then at some point, Tom mentioned how many games Jim Rice played, which was like 2,000 more games than Xander has at this point. And you hear Xander, he sort of smiles and laughs, and he goes, damn, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of games.
I mean, it's just they sound more likable right now. Now, that goes right out the window if they can't play a lick, right?
Right.
It does. Yeah, of course. But in the beginning of that interview, and it's a great whole interview, and I highly recommend anyone either goes to Twitter, to the EEI feed, or back to the website to listen to the whole thing. But he says that they ask about Alex Cora returning and what a difference that would make. And he talks about how he loves the guy and was super excited to come back.
He would have supported whoever the manager was.
Of course. And that would have been the deal. And here we go, Sox 2021, play Sweet Caroline. But he loves Alex Cora, and you can tell that there probably was some sort of secret lobby or campaign from the players, like, okay, after we're done with Uncle Ron this season, let's go ahead and let's see if we can bring Alex back, because he is a player's manager. He communicates with them well, and he sets that tone. I'm talking about, like, the other day about how, you know, the team is a representative of the mood and the energy and the style of the coach, and the Celtics are playing so tepidly right now, and that's because Brad Stevens might just be too damn nice. Alex Cora is funny, but he's smart, and he's competitive, and he's edgy, and this team has all of those hallmarks, and I think we're going to see them come back. And it carries through just in the tone and demeanor of something as simple as a Chris Sale interview on a Friday morning during spring training.
Let's hear how Chris Sale put it this morning.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I know I've said it you know, a lot, and I probably sound like a broken record, but, you know, there was never really anybody else for the job in my eyes. What he's done for me in my career and what I've seen him do for other people, and, you know, just the camaraderie, the trust that we can have in him, his passion for, you know, the game of baseball, everyone around here, and the Red Sox organization. It, you know, everything just kind of matched up. It's one of those things where kind of the stars align. So we're glad to have him back, and, you know, especially with where we're at right now with our team and everything going forward, he's going to be a big part of our success.
There you go.
But Sale's going to be the even bigger part.
And yes.
He has the chance, too, because it's going to be hard to get everybody, like, fully back on board, right, to get all the fans back. But, hey, I know Mookie's gone. I know it was a horrible season. But, come on, watch and listen to the Red Sox and invest in the Red Sox, because he is the only guy they have in their rotation that has the potential to, one out of every 5 days, you have to stop and watch what he's doing. Like, on a Tuesday night, you're kind of busy, but, oh, it's a Sale game. I got to watch Sale. I'll do whatever I was going to do tomorrow because it's Chris Sale. He has that ability, and so you just hope he can get somewhere close back to that.
Adam Ottavino is going to join us next hour, we've been told, by the Red Sox. That gives us an opportunity to get to Kiefer Madness Week in Review here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get back to your calls in a few minutes as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
The beginning of madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
This is madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
Keith, kiss my ass. How's that sound?
Oh, Keefe's a nice guy.
What now?
I got really into home brewing. I got a home brewing kit. Pretty time consuming.
Who's door, Keith?
Where's Keith?
Where is he?
Where's Keith?
Where is Keith?
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
This is madness.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yo, Keith of Madness is so hit or miss.
You're only giving a little spark of madness.
Keith, you jackass.
Is Keith for madness?
Bacon on peanut butter and jelly. Unbelievable good.
Justin Ablicator. Adronis. Let's see. Antiochi. Christopher. Is this this Christopher? There's no way that's Christopher. Yeah, stop.
Christopher.
It's Valteria Filippula. Evgeny Shlevnikov.
Well, it's a Friday. Moved up to 11:30 today. Time for our weekend review here on Daily Keefe with Fitzy. And speaking of Fitzy, this first part involves him very much. He was
no
on
way.
Sunday. He was on. He's you hear him all over the weekends now. And Chaim Bloom, the chief baseball officer of your Boston Red Sox, was holding a press conference. But like most press conferences now, they're done via the Zoom. And Fitzy and the guys at EEI were connected to said Zoom. And they were playing some of it, and then they came back to the show. But apparently, Fitzy's still very much involved with the press conference.
This is traditionally...
All right, you were listening to Red Sox Chief of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom, with one of his first media availabilities.
Sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
Sorry.
This is traditionally a time of year when teams take a look at some...
Like, main focus. What is the first big question?
All right, I'm kind of noisy.
Sean McAdam is going to come and kick your ass.
Sean's just trying to ask a question of Chaim, and it's
trying to do
happening.
His job here.
It's still as embarrassing as the first time when you guys surprised me with it on Monday.
I was shocked you didn't know.
I had no idea. Ken sent me a text later saying something leaked out over something, so watch the audio feeds. But I had nothing to do with it. I am connected to the board. My words
let's throw Eamon under the bus here, right?
No, but then our producer during that show, Eamon Convey, who does a great job on the videos as well as producing some of the shows here at EEI, he tells me that the Zoom op, the board op for the Red Sox, must have screwed up because he was sure
pass
he was
the buck.
Right as
let's
rain.
Throw him under the bus.
Pass the buck.
That he had everything buttoned
you're
up.
You're a producer's worst nightmare.
Yeah,
how?
Seriously.
Because you blame us for everything. Just berate us on the air. We had a guy here who used to do that. It didn't last too long.
Fitzy, I'm gonna tell you.
It's not happened to him, did you?
In I real life, berate you for any. I'm the only one who compliments you, you ungrateful son of a blank.
Fitzy, in real life, what you do is when that happens and you find out about it, you say, hey, my mistake. You know what? I didn't realize it was live. I screwed up.
Kind of noisy. I thought so. That's going to be the name of Fitzy's new podcast.
Kind of noisy. Kind of noisy.
First guest, Sean McAdam.
Sean McAdam be the co-host of
at any podcast? At any point during the show, people can just randomly appear and just start talking over other people.
My biggest complaint with the whole thing is that the part that made it onto the press conference was so wildly generic. It was just Fitzy saying, like, that was Chaim Bloom, and it wasn't like, this guy stinks. Like, this guy traded Mookie Betts, or what? This team is in trouble. Nothing like that, but all right, so, hey, you live and you learn right there. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with the program, you know that roughly 25 past each hour, we do Trending Now. It keeps you informed, keeps you in the loop, keeps you on what's going on. Keywords there being 25 past the hour, not 45 past the hour.
Your thoughts on the game in Lake Tahoe last night for the Bruins. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend. Oh, excuse me. No, it's not.
Whoops.
Check that.
All right. I screwed
up. It's all right, Dale. Are you going to blame anybody?
No, that was all me. But at least I did that on my own show.
Correct.
I didn't do it on somebody else's, press conference.
That's true. You didn't jump in.
Dale, you were
else.
In complete control of that scenario. I had nothing to do with the Zoom bomb.
It was Zoom place. Bomb. Speaking of Trending Nows, Chris Scheim has been taking that over. He's not in today. That's why I'm back doing it. But Scheim has been taking over it. And this, he's had better trends than this.
Pick up Pepsi or Schweppes seltzer 12-pack cans at 3 for only $8.97 when you buy 3 and activate the digital coupon at checkout.
Scheim, I got to say real quick, my favorite part of trending is when you try to get through copy and you get out ahead of yourself and you start running out of breath before,
all right, before you're fat guy problem.
See, he didn't blame anybody else but himself.
But he even took full credit. It's a fat guy problem, but he 100% gets out ahead of the copy and then starts realizing that he's doesn't have enough breath for the rest of what he's going to read.
Scheim is out over his skis.
A little bit. So sometimes, again, on a show, especially when there's three hosts, oftentimes we might say the same thing at the same time, right? Like sometimes I notice this what happens when, a caller calls in. He's like, hey, thanks for taking my call. And me and Dale have both said sure. Or we'll say, good. We'll say it very similar. Nothing, though. Like Andy Hart and I both answering a question that Dale asks in the same way and in the same cadence and everything.
I don't think the voters would hold it against them at all.
I don't know.
Pretty good.
We're like synchronized.
You guys harmonized.
That's not bad.
It was really good.
A shared brand.
I don't know.
That is really weird.
Haunting.
Haunting is a good word for that. That's a haunting. Very strange clip.
I'll also...
I don't know.
It had a certain icy dead people sound to it, didn't it?
It did. The whole thing was weird. Like, the pause was just as long, and it wasn't one word. It was four. It was like, wow.
It sounded like part of the soundtrack from Poltergeist.
A little bit.
Yeah, I just heard that for the first time, and that just struck.
I don't know.
Like, that's like if the two of you were twins that appeared in an elevator at the Overlook Hotel, and I said, "Hey, is your dad home?" Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come play with us.
I don't know.
Scary.
By the way, if we had rehearsed that all morning, you couldn't have pulled it off.
Nope. Yeah, apparently I've been working too much with Andy Hart. Speaking of Andy Hart, he had the opportunity of a lifetime to host the show solo because Dale and I were not back in time from break.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Finally, the listeners have gotten what they've wanted. It's the Andy Hart Show, middays, WEEI.
Nobody wants the Andy Hart Show.
Where the hell did you come from?
My restroom upstairs.
Oh, you had a potty break?
I did.
Do you have IBS? Spastic colon?
No, I'm good, thanks. I appreciate it, though.
He asked if you had a spastic colon?
Everything for Andy goes back to his spastic colon.
It didn't. You were 4 seconds late. If you just let the bed play.
I was sitting down as he started talking.
And diving in. And then he asked if you had a spastic colon.
We should make him lead host one day.
We shouldn't.
No, we should. No, did you hear that?
That's a dumb idea.
Seems like a horrible idea. I feel like...
It's not even just potty talk. It's sort of like biological function talk with Andy.
Well, it's very specific, because with Andy, it always goes back to his irritable bowel
syndrome. Yes, I understand.
Syndrome.
It does. And so if he's the lead host, not going to work. I think if we did Tuesday and Thursday lead host power rankings, it would go Dale, Keefe, Scheim, Andy John.
Hey,
that would probably be longer.
Yeah. You thought about it, though.
It could be a tie for fourth. I'm not sure.
He almost duped you into it. But
today's opening segment, we talked about porn, and we haven't worked that in a lot in the past, but if it was Andy who was here, it would have eventually just gotten to irritable bowel.
100%.
Okay, all right. Dale, I'll ask you this.
The whole thing.
It's this simple. Would you rather listen to WXXX or would you rather listen to WIBS?
I think we know
Triple X. Oh, porn radio all the time.
I think so. I think I would. On Wednesday, Fitzy's What Else She Got involved a TikTok video of a guy missing an exit while driving his son to the airport with his wife in the passenger seat, and he dubbed it the most Boston audio ever.
South Boston, where are you? Oh my God.
What are you talking about?
You were supposed to take that exit to Boston right there.
Or London Airport.
I know, but...
The hell are you talking about?
That's what she said.
I don't listen to that shit. Go to Logan. Shut the thing off.
All right.
This was getting us there the fastest way. That's all it was doing.
That thing is bullshit.
No, it's not. If I miss my flight, I'm going to kick you in the face.
It's 10 minutes to 1. If you miss your flight, you're not going to miss your flight.
Put it on a t-shirt right now.
Who hasn't been involved in that conversation?
But it was almost too perfect. I still have my doubts whether that one was real.
Could be fake.
I mean, it does sound like every South Boston, trip to the airport that you've ever thought of in your entire life, right?
Awesome. But all these characters, Dale, are based off of real people. These real people
exist.
It's
like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon made that video.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that lady. Who's the lady with the thick Boston accent who did the car commercial with them?
Rachel Dratch?
Yes.
Hey, don't pay smiley chance. Is that
like
a ghost
car? Yes, it's like Affleck and Rachel Dratch.
It's got Smart Pack. Don't be a smart.
Smart Pack.
Yesterday on the program, John was able to somehow sneak his favorite audio drop into the show 2 minutes in.
Is it because of my consistent use of virtual backgrounds? Is it because of my devastating game show chin? Is it because of my perfectly coiffed, fresh out of the shower hair?
Is it because of my
Magnum Dong?
Or that.
Wait, what?
On his shortcuts.
I don't think that's okay.
Record time.
He would,
his quick
he would,
fire.
I'm only surprised it's not in the open every day. Because John,
in the open today.
John is so infatuated with that guy.
That's actually the name of John's new podcast.
And it's on WXXX Radio.
We played again for you today the Brad Stevens audio where he was basically letting everybody know, including you, Gary Washburn, that he's had his moments before. He's had his moments, and this was Andy Hart's reaction to that.
What's he going to do, have another pizza party? Is he going to invite him in for some Girl Scout cookies
Rich
and whole milk?
Rich is real big on pizza parties.
I've had my moments.
You can't have your... That really is starting to crawl up my... my moments.
Hey, descriptive.
That's it. He's so one note. I never realized that before. Everything is in and around the buttocks.
Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable. This guy.
He also told somebody yesterday they could, like, you know, kiss his katukus. Now, I've never heard somebody, like, form the portmanteau of katukus. It's either tukus or keister. But now he made katukus.
Mind him.
Yeah, no one asked for that. There was I don't remember seeing a change.org online petition like, we need a new dad word for butt. Like,
for a while, was only on the show Fridays, and he would complain about why he wasn't involved in Week in Review. And now that he is involved, like, it's getting the same, it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff, of course.
It is.
We're better off without
it. Pretty much one note, isn't it?
Yes. This over and over again. Last thing before we get out of here, Chris Scheim, yesterday on the program, he does like himself a mock draft, but he'll get hot and bothered, and he was not happy with Mel Kiper's recent mock.
Mel Kiper releases a mock draft where Mac Jones goes number 8 overall before Trey Lance. I love Trey Lance. That's great. But
then
I
don't
also
bitch
want...
about Mac Jones going before that.
More importantly than that, I just want good football. I want good teams to be better. And you
want
to know what Mac Jones is?
Don't he's you going want your to be, team to be better?
He is no better. He's going to be no better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Good.
It's literally just changing out the contract.
Carolina. Good.
So this whole argument is based on your sympathy for the Carolina Panthers?
No.
And the people
I,
of
yes. No. Yes. I think basically. Mel Kiper is dumb.
All these people, none of them are saying that this should happen.
And they're
trying
dumb.
To predict what they
yes,
think.
Yes, and they're all wrong
do.
Because it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Mac Jones is not going in the top 10.
Saving this.
For it. Mac Jones isn't going in the top 10.
I can't wait until he goes in the top 10.
Oh, please. That's like, please. If there is a God in heaven. Please.
That's Keith Nick Ritchie territory right there. Probably
gonna
worse.
It's going to happen. He's very adamant about that. But his argument was he wants good teams to get better. I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yep. He like has this theory that like teams are smart, I guess. Like, isn't like
they're
the
not.
Fact the fact that you're picking in the top 10, doesn't that mean you're not smart? Like,
most
you probably
of them
made
aren't.
Some mistakes to get there.
There's very few smart teams, in fact. That's why there's so much change year to year. But either way, there's your week in review, the final week of February.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Adam Ottavino will join us next hour. We've got an update or two concerning the Bruins, who play at Madison Square Garden tonight. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Got noisy.
See, and it's time to trend. Oh, excuse me. No, it's not.
I don't know.
If you miss your flight, you're not going to miss your flight.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale and Keith recapping last night's Bruins loss.
Five unanswered goals in the third period from the Islanders, and they run away with it, 7-2.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
This is what the Cizikas line can do, and Pellick scores! Take to take to Matthew Barzal, breaking with Everly, the shot scores! Point-blank chance, and Beauvillier scores his first goal of the season! 2-on-1, Barzal and Everly, Everly scores! On a shorthanded breakaway, scores! Pellick's bomb, and Wahlstrom caps the scoring for the Isles. Five unanswered goals in the third period from the Islanders, and they run away with it, 7-2.
All right, it was horrible. And yes, the Islanders are the boogeyman for the Boston Bruins, or as I said on the telecast last night, while the Bruins are the Flyers' kryptonite, the Islanders are the Bruins' kryptonite. 0-3 against the Islanders this year. They've been outscored 12-4 in the three games. Three regulation losses. I don't want to overreact because they've had problems with this team all season long. But the fact of the matter is they have at this point lost three of their last four games. The one that they won was at Tahoe, and it was great, and, you know, it was fun, and everybody had a great time with it. But just to give you an idea of how unusual it is, the Bruins scored seven goals in a win on Sunday, and in the very next game came back and gave up seven goals in a loss. The last time that happened, January 4th and January 6th of 2000. To put it in perspective, Pat Burns is the head coach of the Bruins. Ray Bourque was traded 2 months later. Big Papi was in his third year as a prospect with the Twins, and Tom Brady had just played his last game at Michigan in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
That's how long ago that was.
Wow.
There's a fluky little number. Is there reason to wonder what the hell's going on? Or, I mean, they've lost three out of four, like you said. Two of them are to the Islanders. Then they had that game where they just didn't look like they were invested. That game against the Devils a week ago felt like I was watching the Celtics, where you were like, what are we doing? What is this?
Last night certainly felt like you were watching the Celtics, too.
And last night, too, like the way Cassidy was talking about them in their third period, or Bergeron, it was like they were, it was very similar to the Celtics. And I know they're dealing with injuries, but they still have their star guys. And I know two out of these four games, or two of the three losses, were also Halak games, so there is that part of it too. Mm. But they were flying pretty high. At one point, they were 10-1-2. They were just cruising by everybody. So is this just a bump in the road, Dale, or is there something else going on?
I do think it's a bump in the road. The other thing that is so obvious, and you know, trust me, I'm not taking shots at the top line. They're one of the best lines in the entire National Hockey League. They were terrible last night.
Yeah, they were.
Especially by their standards. And if your top line plays as poorly as the Bruins' top line did last night, you're probably in trouble. Not 7-2 in trouble, but you're in trouble if they play the way they did last night. I'd be surprised if there isn't a huge bounce back for that group tonight.
Isn't that the story of the Bruins, though? Like, they're so top line, top heavy that if line doesn't carry them, then they're toast?
Yeah, that and the power play, which those guys all factor in on said power play. So it's kind of one and the same. They get good goaltending most nights, and they have those three elite players. That's kind of where they're at.
I'm going to try to refrain a little bit from making too much fun about Nick Ritchie scoring again, an even strength goal, by the way.
I'll take it. Strength goal. How about it?
He's got seven on the season so far.
Yep.
They've played, 17 games. He's got seven goals, seven assists, 14 points. Last year in 48 games, he had nine goals.
Yeah. 14 now, points, still a minus player. You know, he's a minus four out there. So just toss
always
that
looking
in
for the sunshine, huh?
Just saying.
You can play
it all you want. I feel like if you think Nick Ritchie is this great player all of a sudden, I still am not. I'm still not convinced. He's better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was useless. I thought he wasn't even worth playing. But again, I'm not ready to talk him up like he's this huge help. And to Fitzy's point, you know, the same questions we're going to ask about, all right, if it's not Pastrnak or Marchand scoring, who's going to score the goal for you? Who do you feel good about? I don't feel good about that. I don't feel like, oh, well, at least you got Nick Ritchie. Like, he's going to bail you out with some good secondary scoring. I still don't see that.
Dale, is this a get-right stretch, though, for them coming up with two at Madison Round Garden, and then a couple days off before they I know the Caps are a tough take, but if Tuca can play back-to-back as well, I don't know if that's going to be like a Tuca tonight and then a Halak on Sunday, or...
Yeah, I don't know what the plan is, because, I mean, Tuca's playing tonight. I do know that part. Bruce Cassidy hasn't laid it out further ahead. Look, they're about to hit a stretch where it's going to get horrible. The month of February has been so slim on games for them. Some not their fault, obviously, with postponements, but the way it was set up because of Tahoe, and they wanted to give teams time before Tahoe and after. But this all comes to a close. March, April, and May are a nightmare for the Bruins. I mean, it is. They have a stretch to close the season where right now they will close the season with 5 games in 7 nights.
Mm-hmm.
5 and 7. Mm-hmm. You don't do that in the NBA. You don't do that in the NHL ever. You do it in Major League Baseball, I guess, but that's about
right,
it.
But come on.
Well, the Rangers kind of stink, and they got 4 of their next 8 against them. That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Matt Grizzlick is on the trip but will not play tonight. There was a thought that he's getting close, could be ready. Bruce Cassidy told the media just a few minutes ago that he won't play tonight, but the idea here is he's going to get another practice in with the team tomorrow and could go back into the lineup on Sunday, which would help. They've got 3 defensemen. 3 of their starting defensemen are out of the lineup right now, and it's starting to show a little bit. You know,
Yeah, that's a bit much. Like, what team in the league can deal with that? You know, half your defensemen are out, so you got to call up 3 other guys. Like, teams are hard-pressed enough to have 6 legitimate NFL defensemen, let alone 9. Like, that's asking a lot.
And, you know, they are literally playing their 9th and 10th defensemen
of
the season.
Let alone 10, exactly.
We'll take a quick break here. Adam Ottavino is going to join us when we come back on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.